happening, and I apologize for my not being able to be there, but I wanted to share God's word with you in this video, so I thank you for understanding that. Thinking back to when my boys were little, they used to wrestle all the time. I don't know what is it about wrestling. I would always be the one to have to break up WrestleMania going on in our living room. On one particular occasion when they were wrestling and I had to break it up, my mom and dad were visiting, and they pointed out to me how my brothers and I did the exact same thing, that we wrestled all the time. They said, well, we caught you wrestling in the living room and in the bedroom, one time and even in the bathroom you were wrestling. So you did the same thing. What is it about boys and wrestling? Is it the macho thing? Is it DNA? I don't know. But one thing that I've kind of boiled it down to is that we usually wrestle for one of two reasons. We're either trying to get away. I was the youngest, so my brothers would put their arms around me and hold on to me, and I was always trying to get away. Or to gain control, trying to control another brother, and so we would try to gain control. I think those are the exact same reasons that we wrestle in life, in our lives. One, we want to get away from something, maybe a bad habit, maybe a bad situation, maybe a decision we made a long time ago, but we're trying to get away from it. And the other is to get control of an area of our life that we may think is pretty much out of control. This morning, we're going to look at our walk with God and learn some skills in the process of life wrestling with God. Our first point this morning, as part of our daily existence, is the power of prayer. Now, there are a lot of places I could go to in the Bible to talk about prayer, but I'm going to go to one that's not usually used. It's Genesis, the 32nd chapter. This story talks kind of about the strategies that were used by one Old Testament character in praying to God and finding success in praying to God. Some of you might be familiar with this story, others may not. It involves Jacob, who is a giant of faith in the Old Testament. But let me be clear, Jacob had some issues, especially when he was younger. He made a lot of mistakes. One of those mistakes was with his brother. He stole his brother's birthright. Jacob tricked his father, who was blind, into thinking he was his brother Esau, and he received the birthright that Esau was supposed to get. And of course, when he found out, Esau was a little upset about that and actually vowed to kill his brother. So Jacob did what a lot of us would have done. We ran for our lives. Well, he did too. He managed to stay away from his brother for 20 years. And in those 20 years, God had blessed him. He had become very wealthy. He'd been blessed with children, and in all standards, he was a wealthy man. But God spoke to Jacob and told him, it's time to go home. That's not what Jacob wanted to hear. Now, Jacob never wrestled with, never argued with God, saying, no, I won't go home. He was just very, very understandably worried about going home. And so God directed him to go to see his brother. And while Jacob was wealthy, Esau had grown in power. The Bible records that he had 400 fighting men. Now, that's an army. And Jacob had nothing like that. He had no army. He had a lot of wealth, but he didn't have 400 fighting men. So clearly he was afraid of his brother and his brother's power. And in Genesis 32, beginning with the 9th verse, we kind of read about what happened as he prayed, beginning with verse 9 of Genesis 32. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosperous. See, that's what God told him, go back home. He said, I'm unworthy of all your kindness and your faithfulness you've shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed the Jordan. He was saying basically he had a stick in his hand when he crossed the Jordan running away. But he says, but now I have two camps. See, Jacob had prospered so much that he'd broken his possessions, even his family, into two camps. I think his thinking was, if my brother attacks me, we'll go in different directions. Maybe some of my family will survive. If not all of it, but at least some of it will survive. Some of my family will outlive me. And so that explains what he's talking about. But verse 11. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I'm afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children, in other words, my whole family. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and you will make your decisions like descendants, like the sand and the sea, which cannot be counted. So he's asking God a very strong prayer, protect me. And then he's reminding God, you made a promise that my descendants would be like the sands and the sea. And if my life and all my descendants are killed by my brother, that can't happen. So he's explaining this back to God, is that you made this promise and I'm counting on it. And when we pray, we need to focus not so much on the need or the problem. Where we need to start in prayer, friends, is our personal relationship with God. That's exactly what Jacob did in this prayer. Jacob prayed. He spoke about his personal relationship with God, and like you would a old friend sitting beside you. And he was talking to God and saying how wonderful he's been and how he's blessed him and how he's so appreciative of all that he's done. Many times we just focus on the problem. We start a prayer by saying, God, I have a need. God, I need some help. God, I have a problem. Can you fix my problem? I think instead we need to follow what Jacob's teaching is, we need to first acknowledge who God is. Respect that you're asking God to speak into your life. In verses 9 and 10, before he really talks with God about the problem, he recounts all this goodness. And I think that's a great step for us, because here's the first point after our main point. Believing in God's goodness. We need to believe in the goodness of God. He reviewed all the things God had done for him. He had a track record. God had a track record of blessing Jacob. And so he was recounting that you've been so faithful and you've been so good and you've blessed me so much. I think that's a great way for us to start, is believing in God's goodness. Their second way is believing in God's power. You know, when you pray, you got to believe that God has the power to intervene in your life. If not, what are you praying for? What's the point? You got to believe that God has the power to bring about good things in your life. And if you don't believe that, then you're wasting your time praying. Why would you spend time praying to a God who couldn't affect your life? You've got to really believe that God can do these things. I didn't say God working through you. I'm saying God had the power. And in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 23, Jesus was confronted the disciples were confronted by a demon-possessed boy. And the disciples couldn't cast out this demon-possessed boy. And the father came to Jesus and he described the condition and explained that the disciples couldn't heal him. And he said, can you? He was asking specifically Jesus, well, they can't do it. Can you? Jesus' response found Mark 9:23. Everything is possible for him who believes. This tells me the boundary between the possible and the impossible is a human boundary, not a God boundary. God can do it all. Remember, we're talking about God, friends. He was the first. He was the last. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the keeper of all creation. He's the creator of all things. He's the architect. He created the universe. He's the manager of all times. He always was, always is. He always will be. It's God. We've got to believe in God's power. The third way he demonstrates his praying for us as to how to pray is to believe God wants to bless me. You know, over the years, I've heard people say things like, oh, my problem is so insignificant, God doesn't need, he wouldn't want to hear about my problem. That's so stupid. You know, you parents out there, your child is troubled by something and you talk to them and they say, oh, you don't want to hear my prayer. You don't want to hear what's bothering me. You wouldn't care, it's so insignificant. You wouldn't want to hear about it. As parents, we want to hear everything. We want to know what's going on in our kids' life. We want to know if there's a problem. We want to intervene. Even if we really can't sometimes, we want to know, because we love our children and God loves us the same way. There's nothing so insignificant that God doesn't want to know about it. God wants to bless us. His love for us is so great that he wants to bless us. And Jacob understood this when he prayed. He knew that God desires for us to share the burdens of our heart with him. He knew this. And when you understand this, you move to the next level of blessings. And this is when you can pursue the blessing. This is actually point two. Pursue the blessing. Following this prayer, Jacob sent everyone away, family, animals, servants, everybody, and he went to sleep. Now, see, I'm alone in that. I'm like aghast in that he's all by himself. He's going to be confronting his brother tomorrow. It may be the last night of his life. I got to confess, if it was me, I wouldn't get much sleep that night. Lack of faith, call it what it is. Jacob had no problem sleeping. They went right to sleep. And that night, God appeared to him in the form of a man. Now, there's a lot of, we could go into a lot of detail and talk about this story till ad nauseum. But the scripture says that God came down as a man. And he came down to do some business with Jacob. And this points to another parallel in the way we pray. God desires for us to pursue his blessing. God wants us to come to him. God wants us to seek him out. God wants us to pursue his blessing. Let's continue reading from verse 22 from this text in Genesis 32. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. Jabbok is a river that was there. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. He got all the family over. Now he got all of his possessions over. So Jacob was left alone. Now, if you're alone right now, you don't know where that breakthrough moment's going to be, you listen up, because here it is. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. He was left alone. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob knows, he knows who he's dealing with here. The man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God." There he goes, he revealed it. "You've struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." The story here gets really exciting at this point. When you get in a touchy situation, when someone you think that is close to God, and you struggle with trying to get closer to God, there's a time that God can use sometimes our struggle to draw us closer. Sometimes the purpose of going through these tough situations is for strengthening. It's to teach us. It's some aspect of faith. And let me explain. God's not causing your problem. 99 9/10% of the problems we have, we caused. You really think about it. God could, he could have stopped this situation at any time. He could have stopped the struggle with the brother. He could have stopped the wrestling that was going on at any time, but he didn't. When we have to understand that trials come, and it's according to Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 10 and 11, that all things are according to the counsel of God's will. All things. God is involved in the affairs of this world. You might look around and say, "Well, he's doing a pretty bad job." No. God's involved in some of the affairs of the world. That's not to say that everybody who's functioning in this world stage is listening to God or calling upon God. You know, God used a lot of evil people when he was trying to teach Israel that came and invaded and attacked. And these weren't godly people. These were pagans. But God used them in the process of teaching Israel. And sometimes God uses this world in the process of teaching us. Blessings are sometimes a matter of perspective. I had a friend who went on a short-term mission trip. His name is Jack Hinton. He was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. A woman had been facing away from him during most of the song leading, and they hit a pause, and she turned around and walked up to him, and this is his words. "It was the most hideous face I'd ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. She lifted a fingerless hand and said, 'Can we sing Count Your Many Blessings?'" This woman, whose face had been eaten away by this disease, fingers are gone, in misery, and she wants to sing, "Can we sing Count Your Many Blessings?" He was overcome with emotions. Jack, he left the service, followed outside by a team member, and the team member said, "I guess you're never going to be able to sing that song again." To which Jack replied, "Yes, I will, but I will never sing it the same way again." And that, doesn't that speak to you? People who have literally nothing, you think, to be thankful for, And they want to sing Count Your Many Blessings because they are thankful and they believe they are blessed and they have a lot to be thankful for. Kind of puts us in our place, doesn't it? That might be the objective of God sometime, to accomplish, even in our painful and discomfort situations, that there's nothing that gets our attention like physical problems and needs. And God could have left Jacob at any time or disabled Jacob at any time, but he wanted Jacob to go through this struggle. And let's make sure you understand how God desires to pursue the blessing. He wants us to pursue, his pursuit was specific. Let me explain that. What did he pray back in verse 11? Save me from the hand of my brother Esau. He's saying, spare my life. Couldn't have been more specific. Verse 24, Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He was very specific there. This seemed pretty specific. Jacob had no problem in being specific in asking God for what he needed. And the Bible is filled with examples of people being very specific when they pray to God. Remember when the servant of Abraham was sent to find a wife for Abraham's son Isaac, and they had to be standing in a certain place and doing a certain action in a certain town. And I mean, it was unbelievably specific that they were praying that God would give them this sign, and he did. Remember the two blind men in Matthew who came to Jesus and called out, we want to see. Jesus healed them. Remember the very prayer of Jabez, enlarge my territory, bless me. God did. You need to pray specifically and be effective. James, the first chapter, if anyone you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Matthew 6:11 records this prayer. Give us today our daily bread. You're struggling to make ends meet. Be praying to God specifically what you need to survive. And I could go on and on. There are a ton of scriptures about specifically praying to God about our needs. He wants us to be specific. Anything, understand this, friend, anything that makes you anxious is okay to pray about. Make sure you caught that. I'm going to say it again. Anything that makes you anxious, upset, nervous, afraid, go on and on and on, is okay to pray about. He can give us peace beyond our understanding. That's what we read about in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be specific. That was desired by God, to be specific. And the third is this, the pursuit was intense, to say the least. The Bible uses words like limp and dislocate and wrestle. These words don't sound like fun. I can speak from firsthand knowledge about broken bones and dislocated joints. When I was 4 years old, I got my first broken bone. We were in bunk beds. I was on the top bunk. I was about 4 years old. I was talking. My brother wanted to go to sleep. We had lower ceilings. He pressed on the bottom of my bunk bed and boom, broke my nose, 4 years old. At 6 years old, my brothers and I were in our little clubhouse about 7 feet off the ground, and one of them gave me a push. Never found out which one. They both admitted that they both denied it happened. It was a hand from God came down and pushed me out anyway of the clubhouse. I fell 7 feet, landed on top of a picnic table, landed on top of the seat, and then fell to the cement pad below. All I got out of that was a broken finger. This finger right here was sticking out that way, and that was it. Let me see, since then I've broken a wrist, a couple fingers, an arm, several toes. I had a problem with my shoulder. It kept going out of place. I would play tennis and serve and it would go out of place. And you know, real fun time trying to find a person or an object that I could use to push my shoulder back in place. It did not feel good, okay? Let me tell you that. And when I hear words like dislocated and limp and wrestling, like the scripture used to talk about this wrestling match, I can envision a rough encounter. But blessings of God are often the result of a life struggle. I hope you heard that. Perhaps you've been going through a difficult time. I'm again going to say, I'm not saying that God causes our troubles, but he can certainly use troubles to grow us beyond what we thought were possible. Whenever that struggle, whatever it is you're facing right now, I encourage you, lean into God's loving care. Allow him to teach you through it. Pursue him. Pursue him in your prayers. Ask God. It's a tough request. But I encourage you, ask God, what are you trying to teach me through this? God's not causing it, but God's going to use it. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. God is going to use this for a good purpose. It's not a good thing, but he's going to find a good purpose for it. And often we can't see what's going on at the time. Oftentimes it's not until we look back that we see the hand of God who guided us, and he cared for us, and he loved us, and sometimes he gently nudged us in a direction we needed to go. My prayer this morning, friends, is that you've learned some of these lessons from Jacob's encounter and put them to practice in your own prayer life, because God loves you. He wants to be in your life. Pursue him. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that as we hear of this struggle of Jacob and God in the form of a man, we see the lesson from this, that we are to pursue God, and God loves to be there for us, and he wants good for us because he loves us, and he's a good God, and he's all-powerful, and he has the power to step into our lives when we trust him and when we lean upon him. And I pray this morning that those who are in this room who are hearing my voice, who understand this, who can hear this, realize that God is there for them. They're never alone. That God is with them, even through, especially through, the tough times. Father, give us that peace that you promise. Give us the strength that you're willing to give. And be with us through these tough times. I pray this in Jesus' name.